A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, teach and urge these things. Whoever teaches something different and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the religious teaching is conceited, understanding nothing, and has a morbid disposition for arguments and verbal disputes. From these come envy, rivalry, insults, evil suspicions, and mutual friction among people with corrupted minds who are deprived of the truth, supposing religion to be a means of gain. Indeed, religion with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, just as we shall not be able to take anything out of it. If we have food and clothing, we shall be content with that. Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils, and some people, in their desire for it, have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. But you, man of God, avoid all this. Instead, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. Verbum Domini. Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Why should I fear in evil days when my wicked ensnarers ring me round? They trust in their wealth, the abundance of their riches is their boast.
Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Yet in no way can a man redeem himself or pay his own ransom to God. Too high is the price to redeem one's life. He would never have enough to remain alive always and not see destruction.
Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is
theirs. Fear not when a man grows rich, when the wealth of his house becomes great. For when he dies, he shall take none of it. His wealth shall not follow him down. Though in his lifetime he counted himself blessed, they will praise you for doing well for yourself. He shall join the circle of his forebears, who shall never see more light.
Blessed the Lord, the Lord, the
Dominus vobiscum.
Et
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. Jesus journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their resources. Verbum Domini.
In today's first reading, St. Paul says that Timothy should teach and urge these things, the things that he has taught to Timothy. Whoever teaches something different and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the religious teaching is conceited, understanding nothing, and has a morbid disposition for arguments and verbal disputes. In another place, St. Paul will say that if an angel from God, or even if Paul himself, should teach a doctrine, a gospel, different from the one he has handed on to the Galatians, let him be anathema. In these texts, and many others like them in the scriptures, we find condemned the heresy of modernism. This was a heresy which was clearly defined by Saint Pope Pius X, and there he condemned the position which was fundamentally that the doctrines of the church can change and be reversed according to the religious experience of each generation. That's modernism in a nutshell. So for the modernists, they would say, well, each generation consults their religious experience, and based upon that religious experience, they now say, well, you know, at this time, this was true in the past in the church, but now it's not true anymore. That's an example of modernism. So, according to modernism, future teachings of the church can be contrary to or contradict past definitive teachings of the church. And this is a condemned heresy, condemned in the scriptures, condemned by our Lord himself, who said his word shall not pass away, and condemned by many ecumenical councils and popes. Modernism extends not only to dogmatic formulations, but also moral ones in the sense of teachings about morality. And it's important to distinguish modernism from authentic development of doctrine. How does authentic development of doctrine take place? In two ways. One way is you take one statement from Revelation, another statement from Revelation, you put them together in what's called a syllogism, and you get a new conclusion. So, for example, we find in the scriptures that it says that Jesus is God. That's John 5:20. We see that in scripture and in the Gospel of Luke, it says Mary is the mother of Jesus, and therefore we conclude that Mary is the mother of God. A simple argument that comes to a more distinct understanding of Revelation. Another way in which doctrine can develop is when the same names which were communicated in a distinct way, in a vague way, a general way, are understood by the church later in a more distinct way. For example, when it says in the scriptures that Mary is full of grace, she having been filled with grace, the angel says to her, we understand that more distinctly as immaculately conceived. The precise grace she had was freedom from all sin, including the stain of original sin. So that's a communication of a more distinct understanding of what before had been understood in a vague way. It's not contradicting what was before. It is making more accurate, more precise, more distinct what existed before, what was taught before. So it's not a different gospel. It's the same gospel in the same sense in which the apostles handed them on to the church. So St. Paul now gives an example of one of these moral teachings that doesn't change. He says that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Boy, if our religious experience were the measure of doctrine, that teaching would have changed a long time ago. Jesus said on one occasion that it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of passing a camel through the eye of a needle, I think food processor. This is not an easy thing. This is not an easy thing. And yet, if Jesus had said that about anything else, it's harder for those who have dyed their hair blonde, or harder for those who play golf or whatever to get in the kingdom of heaven, not one Christian would do it. But because the Lord said, for those who are wealthy, all the litany of excuses, they all come out. They all come out. Oh, it's not that I want to be wealthy for myself, it's for my kids. I want them to have a comfortable life. Oh, so you want to make their salvation nearly impossible. Oh, it's not that I'm attached to the money. I'm not attached at all. Oh, so you're not attached to it. You're willing to make your salvation more difficult for the sake of money you're not attached to. All the excuses come out. Well, there is one good reason why someone should be wealthy and even in some way be willing to desire wealth, and that's the reason given in today's gospel: to help those in need. If you are wealthy, there's only one reason for it in God's mind, and that is to give it away, to be generous with the poor, to help the church. And in that way, you can show by your deeds that you love your neighbor more than your money. So let us pray to St. Paul for the church of today. I fear that modernism is alive and well and with us in many, many forms. And let us pray for all of us that we will remain rooted firmly in the same gospel which was taught by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.